How you doing, everybody? All right, I'm back, and I am so MF'n tired. I don't know if I'm getting old or if it's the 500 plus hours I put in on the cartoon between May and July, but I am beat. That's not an exaggeration, by the way. My intern put in 465 some odd hours, and you figure I work probably another 2 or 3 hours a day on top of hours of the intern, times 30, 60 days. So really, it's even more than that, probably closing in on 600 hours. Anyhow, I'm beat, but it's time to get back on the horse here. Time to get moving. Get the blood flowing again. I'm going to get into some stuff that's going to seem a little outdated because I haven't been in circulation for a while, but it'll be interesting anyhow because it's me. So let's start with the oil spill. When last we talked, I told you not to worry about the oil spill. And here we are now in July, and the oil spill is all gone. In fact, now there's senators bitching that there's no oil to clean up, and they're freaking out that it's disappeared. Why? It's been absorbed into the ocean. What are we going to do? Well, nothing, you idiots. It's been absorbed into the ocean. One moron, and I wrote his name down, and I forgot to bring the paperwork back, but I'll try and find it and post it. One senator out there, one liberal senator, and I keep telling you guys, look, all you can do is keep an eye on your own party. Because if you're a liberal, obviously the Republicans aren't going to listen to anything you say. And if you're a Republican, calling up your Democratic senator isn't going to do a squat. All we can really do is weed out the morons in our own party. So I'll get you the name of this Democrat moron who thinks that the oil might be somewhere between the ocean surface and the ocean floor, floating somewhere nefariously. So this idiot not only doesn't understand that oil is lighter than water, he doesn't understand that heavier things are heavier than lighter things. Look, idiot, it's lighter than water. That's why oil floats to the surface, see? And if it was heavier than water, it would be on the bottom. Right? It can only be on the bottom or the top. Right? But this is this is a senator. We're paying him money to lead us to vote on things. Ugh. Okay, moving along to this. They're going to build a mosque on Ground Zero. Whatever Arab and Muslim organization filed all the paperwork, and the powers that be in New York cleared it, so Ground Zero is going to be home to a mosque. Now, the argument on one side is, well, we have to be, you know, open to all religions and so on and so forth. And the argument on the other side is, are you effing me? You're going to put a mosque? Here's how I look at it. One, it's in bad taste, but I don't really care, and here's why. The people on the right are saying, well, this is them thumbing their nose at us, and it's a victory for them, and pretty much they're correct. This is what they do. If you look at Israel, after they conquer some place, they slap a mosque out there. You know, it's like sticking their flag in the ground. So that's more or less what they're doing here, but here's why I don't care. They brought the Twin Towers down in 9/11. And then, in response, we blew the holy fuck out of two of their countries. If their response now is to stick a mosque on Ground Zero, that is a, I can live with those margins. That's a ratio I can live with. In fact, how about we do this? How about we let them pick, 5 or 6 other sacred spots on our good old US of A, and they can... They can plow down whatever monument is there and stick a mosque, and then we'll blow the holy fuck out of five more of their countries, and then this will be all over. If that's a victory to them, sticking a mosque up after we make a parking lot out of Afghanistan and Iraq, hey, take it. Super. That makes you happy? Fine. Have your little mosque, and we'll continue patrolling the smoldering crater where your countries were that now have our puppet governments. Have a nice day. Oh, what else has been going on? Mel Gibson got in some trouble. I've got the audio of his tirade. I'm sure you all know by now what's going on, but if you don't, he got in an argument with his girlfriend or something like that, and she recorded the conversation of him just raving like a man, raving like a madman, saying all sorts of horrible, vile things to her. And I don't think you have to know me for long to know that I'm 100% on his side. Not only is it dirty pool to record somebody when they don't know they're being recorded, but it's especially dirty pool to record somebody after you've pushed all their buttons. I mean, let's be honest out there, everybody. After you've been in a relationship for a little while, you know how to set the other person off. You know how to get them sounding like a madman. It's what we do to each other after about, you know, 5-6 months of dating. You know, after the passion's gone, you just drive each other insane. It's a little hobby that you have. So we're going to try to play the audio, but if it doesn't connect, yeah, and we're basically just going to edit into
the spot. You look like
spot.
A fucking bitch, honey.
Right.
And if you get raped
now.
By a pack of niggers, it'll be your fault. All right?
Okay. Theoretically, you have just heard part of Mel Gibson's rant. If you didn't, here's what he said. He said, you look like a bitch on heat, and if you get raped by a pack of niggers, it's your fault, okay? That is MFing I'm mad at you poetry right there. That is poetry. I mean, how many of us have been, you know, screaming at somebody and just wanted to say the most vile thing we could just to harm them to the core, and the best we could come up with was something about their mothers or something, you know, benign, or we come up with some swear words. I mean, that's poetry. It almost brings a tear to my eye. Now, the question here is Mel a racist? That I can't really say. He used the N-word pretty loose, pretty fast and loose, like it wasn't foreign to him. On the other hand, I've said here before, calling somebody a nigger, that don't really make you a racist at the end of the day. I mean, look, you got to judge people by their actions and not their words, especially when he's all keyed up and some broad just drove him nuts. Now, I've seen him on several occasions risk his life for Danny Glover. Lethal Weapons. I'm kidding. But look, he works with black people all the time. He doesn't strike me as a racist. And say what you will, and maybe, like I say, maybe the audio didn't stick. The point of him saying that wasn't really, I hate niggers. It was, I hate you. And this is a mean word I can use to make you feel bad. So having said that, I'm going to side with him not being a racist, because if he was, he wouldn't use that word to try to hurt somebody. That word would be more matter-of-factly, I think. Now, interestingly enough, I think this does make her a racist. Let me break this down for you. He wants to hurt her, right? Verbally. He wants to upset her. He wants to say something mean. And he says, if you get raped by a pack of niggers, it's your fault. First, just the way he says that cracks me up. Hey, your fault. Your fault for dressing like a Everything about that is funny to me. First, just the pack of niggers. Now he's saying this to her to try to hurt her. So keep that in mind. He's saying this because in her mind, there's just packs of niggers roaming around. That's how she views them, or he wouldn't use it in that verbiage and cadence. If she was cool with black people, him saying that would not harm her in any way. It wouldn't scare her, it wouldn't make her feel bad, it wouldn't make her feel like a slut. You know, if she was, cool with black people and didn't view them any differently than anyone else, saying that would have no effect. He's trying to say something that has effect. That means that he knows this is going to affect her. He knows she's a racist. He knows she doesn't like black people. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said that. Am I making sense here? You follow me? The things he's saying to her, to hurt her, as being someone who's intimate with her, you know, emotionally and personally, says way more about her than it does about him. Am I making sense here? Joe agrees with me. What are you here anyhow? I know how to work this stuff now. I don't need your help. And by the way, if the sound isn't good, it's because I went back to the crappy old microphone. Hold on a second. I got to take a drink. Also, the crappy microphone with the crappy program is a little easier to pause. I don't know why. I think Pro Tools is one of those... Pro Tools is the other program we were using for the cartoon, which is sort of like installing wiper blades on a car. It's real easy once you know how to do it. Oh, all I got to do is I just flip this little thing and turn it clockwise. But if you don't know how to do it, you're never going to be able to figure out that you got to flip the thing and turn it clockwise. It's just this screwy thing staring at you. Anyhow, I don't like the other microphone because I got to hold it. This is more like a headset and I can just rant and rave. I don't like holding the microphone because then it's like I'm doing stand-up again and then I get horrible flashbacks. Pardon me. So, holy smokes, we are? Well, should I run? See, you're doing it. Shut up! Shut up. What was I saying now? They can't hear you. Remember, this is the crappy thing. It drives people nuts when I'm talking to someone they can't hear. Where are the rest of my notes? We're just going to run long. Oh, but then I got to do... Okay, we're going to... Bear with me, folks. It's been a while. Did I finish what I was saying about the Mel Gibson thing? Yeah, anyhow, he ain't a racist, but that woman obviously is. The end. All right, that's the end of part one of the podcast, if you had enough. Maybe this is boring. I don't know. I haven't done this in a while. So in any case, thanks for listening. Until next time, think.